with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night Podcast with Dwayne Perkins and my lovely co-host, TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie, we have a guest, we talk about the movie. We thought about this for days and days, and this is what we came up with. And hope you like it.
Took a lot of brain power. Our special guest this week is a writer, a comedian, an actress, Emily Maya Mills. You've seen her on The Birthday Boys, Comedy Bang Bang, Key and Peele, little bit of everything. How's it going, Emily?
Great. How you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. This was easy.
Absolutely.
I watched
happy
a
to
movie.
Have you.
Right.
It's tough homework. I know.
Well, you know what's interesting? You said, this is easy. I watched a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another friend of ours who we're going to have one at some point, and he wasn't able to do it just yet. But when I told him, hey, you want to come on? He said, it sounds like a lot of work.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Can we say who it is? Who said that?
Sure. I think he'll be on at some point. It was Neil Brennan.
Oh, nice.
But it could have been just being funny. I'm not sure.
That does sound like, well, it is
well,
like,
you know,
hey, you want to be on our podcast? Do this shit.
Right.
You have to do this
but
for
watch
us.
Watch a
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess
great.
Neil Brennan
little
is
bit of
not
homework.
An American. Sorry. We just found that out here and
bam.
Now.
The gauntlet what? Has been thrown. So what's going on, Emily? What have you been up to?
Oh, you know, hustling as I do. A little bit of everything, as you said. I'm heading up to do a bunch of stand-up, going up to Healdsburg, California on July 11th for a festival up there.
July 11th is when this comes out. So if you hear it that day, go see her.
Come up.
Yes.
Healdsburg, come out.
What's the festival called?
It's called Small Town Comedy Festival.
Cool.
Second year I've done it. It's amazing. They take you on an all-day river float the next day. Just shove you in like a, basically like a lazy boy lounger with like two beer cozies and just float you down the river for like 2.5 hours.
Nice.
And how safe is that?
It's actually really safe.
Were you worried the first time that they were just like sending you up the river and they're like, we don't have to pay her if we
literally
just
up
push
the river.
Her
yeah, yeah.
up the river?
No, they're all from there. They're very coordinated. The river's moving at about a snail's. I mean, it's like.
I mean, if you can drink beer while you're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's can't be that fast.
You have to kind of swish yourself along to even move in the river water. That's how slow.
Like a truly, truly lazy river.
Yeah.
Like the river itself is actually lazy.
It's a real one. It's lazy river.
Healdsburg. Where's Healdsburg exactly?
Healdsburg is north of San Francisco. It's Northern California wine country. It's not quite in Sonoma, like where the main sort of Napa stuff is, but it's like wine country on a river, basically. It's like wine country, but better.
And this is this a newer festival?
It is.
It seems there's so many festivals popping up now. It's great.
Yeah, they're so fun. And if you can basically get to a destination where people are hungry for comedy, you can do it. If someone has the, you know, the passion and the wherewithal to do it, to organize
it.
Yeah,
put it together.
Everyone who's ever organized a comedy festival, like, I just thank them.
Yeah.
Thank you if you're watching, and I owe you a hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's a ton of work.
So much.
And to actually pull it off. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a lot of work by a few people, I think, each place. You know, it's a handful of people that put them together. So.
And if it's successful once, it's like, oh, no, you have to do it again.
Yeah. Shit. I was just hoping to like meet all these cool comics and be like, well, we tried.
It's hard.
What else? Anything else coming up?
I'll be going from there to New York City for a bunch of shows as
great.
Well.
New York City.
I was just there recently doing some shows, and that's my summer until I get back and make more TV and write more things. And I'll be in Maine in between New York and coming back here. So I've never been to Maine before.
Nice.
I'm going to just hang out on a lake. So if people will hear about that, they can come
see Emily at a lake.
Yes.
Look for the lake. And then just yell her name, and she will come out, hang out with you, sign all your memorabilia, whatever you want.
Type 5 on the dock.
On the rowboat.
Yeah, it's a lazy summer.
So, Maine, that's really, you know what I mean? Stark comparison to New York. It seems like you're going, like, just chill out in your face.
Yeah.
Chill out in your face.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be a little wild in that way.
So after what happened to the movie, this movie set in New York, I think Jersey guy living in New York, Don John, just came out last year, directed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and she stars in it, and Scarlett Johansson, Julianne Moore, Tony Danza. So what did you What did you think about this movie, Emily?
It's crazy because it seems like it's a movie about nothing at first, like right. for yeah, a while. Yeah. And there's all these great actors in it. And like my boyfriend and I watched it together. So I'm a little sort of infused with our conversations. But like it did feel at first like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Scarlett Johansson were sort of like playing that, like they were sort of like above the people that they were playing. There was something sort of that they seemed like they were like a little bit like looking down their nose at the type of people they were playing.
I'd agree with that. One of my notes was that it was definitely a little preachy at parts. It was a little bit like, I think in the big picture, that wasn't the intention.
Right.
But
right.
I do think it came across that way for a large chunk of the movie. Where yeah. you're like, what?
Well, a large chunk of the movie in the beginning, because later in the movie, something sort of more real drops in. And that, and then it becomes a movie that's like really watchable.
Right. And I didn't pick up on what you're saying, but I did, not just saying it, it's like, that's what it was. Because I just thought the accents were so over the top.
Yeah.
That everything, I thought it was a bit jokey.
It was like an archetype, right?
Yes.
So the accents, it was like, do they think that's what they need to do? Or, like you said, there's a little judgment. You're judging those characters, and that's why they're so pronounced.
Right.
And then it's like, just calm down. We get it. You're a guy who wears, like, cut-off shirts, and you work out. Like, but what do you think about that guy? Because you think he's an ass because you're playing him that way, at least. And then, like you said, eventually that calmed down a bit.
He did, It was sort of like at first you felt like you were watching Scarlett Johansson do a Groundlings character, which, like, it's a little, like, good for her because you never see her really stretch. So I wasn't really mad at it, but it wasn't quite working.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, they sort of became slightly more real people, and it became a story that was interesting and had some heart, you know?
Yeah, it definitely changed quite a bit about halfway through. I wondered, watching the first half of the movie, like, all right, if this wasn't Joseph Gordon-Levitt's, like, first foray into writing and directing, would anyone have made this movie?
Right.
Because the idea was a little bit, like, it was crazy. You know, it was these over-the-top archetype characters, and then it was, like, mostly about him jerking off. And I was
Where?
I was very curious to see where it was going. I was like, I don't know how this movie's going to eventually have substance. And it did. He did a good job with it. But I do think that anyone reading this script, if it was submitted by a nobody, would have gotten 20 pages in and been like, what the fuck am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
But there's a big turn on page 74.
Yeah. Right. You really got to want it. You got to want it. You got to stick around.
Well, I thought, like, the going back to confession over and over again was, like, while I thought it was a nice convention, but I also thought that, like, if I wrote a script where a guy goes to confession and that's how I move the story along, that would be the first note. Like, what is that?
That
wouldn't work. But he's able to do it, and it works. It serves its purpose. But it's sort of like it seems like something you would do when you're first writing. Like, who else is he going to tell, right? So he tells a minister, and I'm shocked at how little things you have to do. Like,
the point in the end.
It seemed like this was a bit of a shot at the Catholicism too. You know, with oh well, if I just go tell this guy I jerked off 75 times in a week, I just got to say a couple of Hail Marys and I'm okay. I think it definitely did feel like they were looking down on, like, the very super Italian New Jersey Catholic community.
Right.
Like,
and a little bit like, this is why people are like this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like,
if I
was part of that community, I think I would be kind of offended by this movie.
Yeah.
Although,
but you may not be.
I think he's implying I wouldn't get it anyway.
Right,
so.
right. You'd be like, they made a movie about us.
Hey, this is great. Oh, we can see this movie.
In the same way that Hawaiians were really into 50 First Dates and Forgetting Sarah
Marshall.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I would be curious to see how this was, like, received at the Jersey Shore. Although, he might be right. I don't know.
Yeah, you might have a point.
They
might have
just been like, damn, did you see him? He was ripped. He looked good.
He was ripped. His hair was hard.
Scarlett was a fucking dime.
She was a dime.
Right.
She reminded me of Carla. I know Carla. You know Carla.
And it's interesting. We all have the same reaction to this movie. Because in the beginning, I'm like, Tony Danza is saving this movie for me.
Oh, my
like,
God, yes.
He's the only reason I'm watching is because of Tony Danza.
He was really good.
He was
really
so good.
He was,
and he was real. Like,
surprisingly
his character
good.
wasn't a caricature.
He wasn't
in the
beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so watchable in that movie. One of the best things I've ever seen him do.
And that's what it made me wonder, like, well, what the hell has he been doing?
Where,
like,
is he?
How come he hasn't, you know, me. I know he's like a talk show. Maybe, yeah, he's been getting his chops.
He's been at Juilliard.
Can't survive on the hair anymore, Tony. Learn how to act.
But he was ripped. It was almost like even the dad was ripped. I don't know if that's just because he's ripped in life, but it felt like...
No, I think
that was funny. That seemed intentional to me.
Yeah, like, I think that was purposeful for sure, because it was just, these are the values of this community.
And as soon as they got home, they had to, like, take off their shirt and put on a tank top. Like, that was... Like, who's always in a tank top?
Even just listen to the way that his values were completely instilled from his dad in, like, working out, going to church for essentially very hypocritical reasons, like going to church to just be forgiven and then get the hell out. And also the way his dad talks about his girlfriend is the funniest thing. But it's like, obviously, that's why this dude is the way he is with women. Because his dad, basically, right off the bat, is like, I would bang your girlfriend. I kind of want to.
It was so salacious.
It was aggressive.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
And for me, where, like, I guess when Julianne Moore's character comes in, that helps.
Uh-huh.
But it also helped a lot once you got who Scarlett Johansson's character was. Once you see, oh, she's like a level jumper. She's trying to be
a
socialite,
ninja.
But she's not. And that's something I relate to. Like just sort of being managed by a girl that way. Like, why don't you go to school? Why don't you do this? That management.
Yeah.
Then it became real because I'm like,
that's
okay,
a human.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens in life.
And it became a lot more compelling when you realized what she was doing.
Yeah.
Totally. Like when she's letting him dry hump her outside her apartment and she won't let him in, but she's convincing him while he dry humps her to meet her family. I'm like, this lady is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
She is in his brain and he has no idea. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'll meet your family, like, because you're letting me dry hump you? I don't know.
Right.
She was amazing.
In some ways, yeah. In some ways, I'm envious of that person who's just like, how do you know what the fuck you want so bad? Like, really?
Yeah, she knew.
You could be inside someone else's brain masterminding the whole thing before they know it.
Yeah, she knew exactly what she wanted, and she wanted to build it.
Yeah.
She wasn't, like, looking for someone to be that. She wanted to, like, mold him.
But I think it's because... Literally, I've had one or two relationships that are exactly like this in different ways where, like, what happens is the girl, there's something, there's one thing about you that she likes so much that she thinks, I can get that and just change
just
all
the
other
rest.
Stuff, right?
Or they have such a clear goal, they're like, this'll do.
This'll do, right, and I'll mold it and make this person. So he's eye candy. So she's like, boom, I got that covered. Because she wants to win with her girlfriends, right? So it's like, he's good eye candy. I'll just make sure I'll fix the other stuff.
Right.
And then I win.
Mm-hmm.
I think she preyed on him a little bit too, though, besides it being like the eye candy thing. I think she saw that he would be susceptible to, like, I can make this dude do what I want him to do because he's used to just taking girls home one night. And if I just string him along, I think she thought he wasn't smart enough to stop it from happening.
Yeah,
and he kind of wasn't. Like, literally, it's so crazy how much this movie becomes better. Like, it's almost like it's mind-boggling
night
in a sense.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't have that masturbation problem, then he never finds out what she's doing.
Yeah.
So like that floor, if you will, is what sort of, like, at least opens up his mind and the viewer to who she really is. Otherwise, he just goes down this path, and he's looking at 10 years later being married to this woman, like, what happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, literally, she was so disappointed that he couldn't stop that one thing. That was his salvation at the end of the day, though.
Right. So much so that he brought her out to lunch, tried to apologize to her, and she was a person who couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I'm sorry that I lied to you. And she was just like, don't do this. Don't try to take me back.
she was living a movie, though.
Yeah.
I think he would have eventually realized her for what she was because of the way she acted about romantic comedy. She was weird.
Yeah.
Weirdly into them. Yeah, she would cry the whole time.
Oh,
she
my God,
wanted that.
Yeah.
And even that lunch scene, it was like she was acting out a scene from a movie where she was like, I can't do this. I can't take this drama.
Yeah.
But that's all she wanted was that drama. Like,
right.
She loved that show.
But she wanted to have that arc of a romantic comedy. And that was her porn, in essence. Like, romantic comedies, that was her porn, and his porn was real porn. And I remember dating a girl who said to me, like, a man's job is to be romantic, is to, like, romance. And I just thought, I thought our job, like, if we're going back in history, I thought it was like to, like, not let anyone kill you.
And then, right. That's, like, as romantic as it gets.
And, like, bring food.
Don't bring let food. Anyone kill you.
But this very baseline, you know, pure look, animalistic.
Serve your purpose.
Well,
right?
Like, yeah. then you build on that.
You need him to not kill your baby. Like, you need to keep you from killing your offspring.
But this girl, you know, great girl, but had that same sort of agenda kind of thing. And it's really, so they really did a good job of capturing that. I really love what he did with the sister, too, like, who doesn't say anything.
She was Silent Bob.
Mute the entire film.
Do you remember the Kevin Smith films where, like, Silent Bob would speak up once a movie and drop knowledge on everybody? Right. She was Silent Bob. She didn't say anything, and then all of a sudden she just blows everybody away.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's also like, wow, I guess, like, how do you come from that family and have that insight? Is it because you're always on your phone, or...?
I think she was probably, like, I have people like this in my family who are so introverted and so intelligent that they can't, like, they're not processing outward a lot. They're doing all the work internally.
Yeah, I think she was just watching her family be insane people and processing it all and being like, I am not going to be anything like these people.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm out of here.
Let's talk quickly about the turn in the movie we keep mentioning, but we can totally spoil it because people have seen the movie. The whole Julianne Moore thing, he meets this older woman in class, at the class that his girlfriend forced him to go to.
Right, irony.
Yeah. And
her big mistake.
He winds up, like, striking up a relationship with her, and that it really, this is one of the bigger turns I can remember seeing in a movie that seemed to completely lack substance. And it was like, oh, maybe that was the point, was to make you think, like, this is a very surface, substanceless movie,
then
kind of catch you, like, oh, well, you were judging it, you know, you were judging these characters just as we were playing them with a judgmental.
Yeah, perhaps. And when Julianne Moore comes in, it's like, because she's older too, it's amazing how, like, all the things don't bother her that
she, like, sees what a child he is and what a child his girlfriend is
completely.
Just, like, tells him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was at this bachelorette party.
I was working this bachelorette party.
You know why? Because
I just did a
stand-up show that had three bachelorette parties in the audience. Brutal, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a club in Edinburgh. And they don't allow hen parties. Which is amazing.
All comedy clubs should have that rule.
but I was at a bachelor party, and there was this guy with his girlfriend, right? And the bachelorettes were doing their thing, and we were doing our thing. And it was in New Orleans, and we're like, we're going to go to a strip club. And this one guy was so scared. He was like, guys, I can't. I promised my girl we wouldn't go to a strip club. And we were like, well,
too bad.
You know, that's what we're doing. So yeah.
You don't have to go. Right. You can keep your promise.
Well, you can go hang out at Waffle House.
Right, but he would have literally had to, like, stand outside.
Yeah.
Or, like, it would have been uncomfortable. So he comes in, and I've never seen someone so nervous to be in a strip club. He didn't look at any girl, didn't look up, looked down, sat in a corner, just was like, guys, I'm going to be in so much trouble. And we're like, dude, this is a bachelor party, and the girls, we're all here and on the same street. Like, calm down. But he was right. The girl shows up. She loses it, says, I told you not to come here. And we all said, hey, we just dragged him. She didn't care. Smacks him in the face in front of everybody. Smacks him in his face.
He's just abused. I mean, that was what the shaking and fear was.
But it was so crazy how she processed that. Like, it's not a real thing. Like, like, it's...
Like, well, and that was
that's a control thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what the Julianne Moore character in this movie was, like, pointing out to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character. It was like, this girl is insane if she thinks that this is the way the world works. Mm-hmm. And even pointing out to him, she's like, when he said that the people in porn aren't pretending to have sex, and she was like, yeah, they are.
Right,
like,
right,
you
right.
just don't understand what I mean by that.
You have no idea what sex is.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she teaches him true intimacy, which is kind of cool.
Which is nice, because it's weird how this turn in the middle makes, like, Scarlett Johansson becomes the villain in a way, which you're not really seeing the whole time. And then when she does,
and initially,
it's nice that,
I think, John is the villain.
Yeah.
You're looking at him like, this guy runs through girls every night of the week.
Right.
He's obsessed with porn. He's not a good guy.
Right. And then you see someone who's able to like see him for flaws that need to be dealt with, like a human, you know, like we all kind of have. And thank God that are you noticing now that her being older has like a little bit of this weird like reverse Catholicism thing with like the Madonna and child?
Oh yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Like,
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
I think she definitely mothers him in a big way. I think she wants to. Because of what happened to her husband and her son passed away. And I think that's what draws her to him, is that she can kind of teach him lessons, but that she weirdly uses him to replace her son and her husband for the time being.
Right.
And her dildo. I'm kidding. She does not use him as a dildo. She teaches him true intimacy and they look in each other's eyes.
But at first, she's okay with what he brings to the table.
Right.
She even says to him, like, it's weird to get critiqued. Like, as a man, like, when a girl is like, oh, yeah, I get that now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, what do you get? Well, I get why your sex, I get it now.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, I'm really good, though. I'm really good.
Yeah, yeah. She fixes his hair. She fixes his sex.
Yes.
She's an important person in his life.
I mean, key for a Jersey Shore meathead.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You fix your hair, you fix your sex. Completely. You're on your way.
Completely. I was with,
to a life.
I was with one older girl once, and more than once, but once as a young man when I was like 22, she was like 33, something like that, 35, something like that. And yeah, it was definitely a simple thing, like just literally she was like, just breathe.
Yeah.
I was like 21, and she said, breathe.
That's
and I was
funny.
Like, okay, well, yeah, okay, is, I can see is. How this could help. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so
didn't
hilarious.
It help so much?
It changed everything. It changed the whole game. It
changed the game. That's great. She was your sex sensei. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's get into the games for this week. Every week we do a couple little question type games about the movie. First one, rename it. Give it another name that kind of more appropriately suggests what the movie's going to be about. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, because I'm like answering these questions as I'm watching, and it did get better, but there was so much porn
I just
called it Finding Alexis Texas. I don't know if you know that. She's a porn girl. Yeah, who won't sleep with black men on camera, at least.
Oh wow!
Because the price will go down, I think. So just.
Oh my god!
But when she does, but when she does sleep with a black guy,
my eyes just ring.
It's gonna go through the roof because everyone's been waiting. I think
she knows what she's doing.
And by everyone,
wise woman,
I
black
mean
guys.
Me.
Emily, what do you think?
I would have to say, if I were to rename that movie, I'd call it Rocky 8, Boxing is Dangerous. Or Saturday Night Fever 8, Dancing is Dangerous. It's kind of like either of those movies without the passion for a sport.
Right, right.
Or the sport is now porn.
Yeah,
we
the
understand.
Sport is jerking off.
That's
I believe
a good call.
35 times a week was his high. 11 in one day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a sport. I mean, I'll be honest. He's a
seriously.
Professional. That is
seriously.
Does he have a job?
How do you still
we
do
never
anything?
Saw him work, but he was a bartender. It was referred to.
Oh, he was
once.
A bartender.
It
okay.
was only referred to.
I kind of assumed he was like a personal trainer. I don't
so
know.
So did I? Because he spent so much time.
I thought that as well.
And
yeah.
isn't it weird that you never saw him work? I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
They left it on the cutting room floor. They're like, we need more porn in this.
Right.
Get this job out of here. This shit's boring.
Yeah. Can we cram some more porn in here? No pun intended.
I wrote the answer to this before the movie gained any sort of traction substance-wise, so I called it A Very Guinea Love Story. I think
well, that's
it's a
why it's called
it's a
Rocky.
Unfair.
Rocky's a
yeah.
love story. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's exactly A Very Guinea Love Story.
Well, you know what else would have been a good name? Good name? Gel for up there and down there.
There was a lot of lubricants being used
in
this film.
Top gel.
All right, take a life lesson from this movie. What did it teach you, if anything?
I think it taught me that when you are lost and trying to find yourself, doing the work and trying to become a better person, you better hope Julianne Moore shows up.
Wow. That is
true.
Awesome. That is really awesome. Yeah, because you need someone with that level of compassion to deal with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually, mine is very much along the same lines, and it was like, don't sleep on the older lady in your class in college. Like, there's usually like one or two of them in every
right,
class.
Right.
And it's like, for all you know, she's going to take you out to her car. She's going to let you smoke some weed. She's going to fix what you're doing wrong
in
the bedroom, and she's going to make you a decent, halfway approachable person.
Right, right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she did a lot for that guy.
She fixed his fuck. Terrible way to say it, but it's true.
Yeah, but the young girls didn't know what they were missing either.
That's true.
But now he's going to, you know, every girl he's with is going to be like, my
God. It was funny. What she really fixed, though, was his expectations of sex, too. Was
right.
Like, he was always let down. Oh, that's why he liked porn more, was he was like, these girls just lay here. Because he was expecting every girl to act like a porn star acts.
Right,
And he was fucking like a porn star fucks.
And, that's
and it was
like,
this is not good for anyone.
That's a real disconnect, though. I think that,
sure.
that was, like, the greatest value of that movie.
Yeah, it's probably a real problem, too, I would imagine, because porn is so easily accessible now to kids who have not had sex yet.
Exactly.
I think it's fucking with people's expectations big time.
It's a big problem in our society, I feel. Yeah,
yeah, especially with, pubescent and prepubescent kids, I think it, like, is noted.
Because it was, like, it was hard to get porn when we were younger. You had to work to get it, especially, like, anything on video. It was all in magazines and shit. It couldn't warp your mind too much.
But you know what made me kind of... Even I still indulge sometimes in porn, but what made, as a kid, and even now, what makes me... What makes me kind of stay away from it is, I don't know, you know who told me this, now that I think about it? I think it was an ex-girlfriend, her mom, and I'm not sure how it came up, and like, it... I think it was an older woman
Was she the older lady who told you to breathe?
No. That would be no Mrs. Robinson kind of thing. But she said men, like when guys watch porn, it makes them, you know, ejaculate prematurely. And I remember hearing that and was like, well, you know, because I was younger and I was like, that was my only issue I had to deal with, you know, hypothetically speaking. So,
as far as you knew, it was the only issue.
I heard that was an issue from some other guys. So, I gotta chill out on that because that's, as a young guy, that's your thing that you need to deal with.
Especially as a young dude, I think a lot of porn is a bad idea.
Yeah. Discipline with any drug of choice or anything, that triggers pleasure sensors, you know? Because you can, if you have no discipline, it can be anything. Video games, like, you know, pot, weed, sugar, fat, whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't have any self-regulation, then you're going to get really unhealthy habits.
Yeah, and this was definitely a drug to him. Like he kept every time he went back to confession, he had jerked off more from the previous week, and he would get back to his apartment and like grab his laptop and fling it open. It was like he needed it. So it was. I do think I was impressed by that. The whole like bigger picture idea of like porn is fucking people's minds up. Like I was like, wow, this movie. That's a lofty point to make, especially to try and tell that to dudes, because they're like, but porn is great.
Yeah, and also to do it in an hour and a half. Like in a way, now that we're talking about it, it sort of was
almost
really
more impressive.
It gets better. Yeah, it gets better.
I thought it was a very good movie. It's just I wouldn't have thought that initially.
Right.
Dwayne, did you drop a life lesson on us? What did you learn from this one?
I said you won't know if you're with someone just for their looks until you've broken up with them.
Yeah.
Somehow I think that doesn't become clear to you until afterward, and you go, what did I like about that person?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's very true. That is very true. Let's jump to this last game. Let's make a sequel out of it, which is hard to do here. This is not. I don't think this was intended to be a franchise.
Right.
But, Dwayne, what do you think part two of Don John is?
I got Don John brings Julianne Moore home, and she falls in love with his father.
Nice.
The father leaves the mom for Julianne Moore. Mm. Meanwhile, Don John falls in love with Julianne's goddaughter, who's exactly 18 years and 3 months old. I don't know why I said that. Then the father marries her, and they all must make it through the weekend without killing each other.
So you went like silly comedy with it. I like it.
Yeah, they all have to.
Yeah. Or someone does kill someone, and then it's a weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Then you have your next sequel.
Right.
My version of a sequel would be he completes his AA degree. Actually moves on and gets a bachelor's in psychology and becomes a sex therapist who helps people with his wife, Julianne Moore. They help couples.
Nice.
So they stay together.
They stay together. But then he starts to go mad, and it becomes sort of like full circle, and it's like it's a beautiful mind. He starts seeing pussy and titties everywhere walls, and he's seeing them, and he has to like sort of work out the problems. He sees before people have met that they need to conjoin their genitals. You know, it's that whole
right.
thing. And yeah, it's a brilliant film in my mind.
Right. So you picture him like somewhere in a mall, and he says, "Excuse me. Is there a giant pussy standing right next to me?"
Because there is, your giant dick needs to go inside of it.
We've all taken this to different places genre-wise. I went with a horror film. They do stay together. John moves into the house with Julianne Moore, the older lady. And they are haunted by the ghosts of her husband and son, and they have to drive them out of the house.
Oh, nice.
Devoid of sex. That's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, you got to throw some sex in there. If it's a good horror film.
Right. Well, maybe the husband can, like, have his way with Don
Johnson. A little ghost sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Scary Movie already did that.
Right.
17 times. that about does it for this week. Emily, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. That was a blast.
Yes, it was great.
Anything you want to
no
promote
pun
coming
intended.
Up?
You can just do that.
It was a blast. That's
what she said.
They did refer to sex as either smashing or blasting, I think, several times.
It's
aggressive language.
Yeah.
Did you guys smash? I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
anything coming up?
I think I mentioned all my dates.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Twitter, website, whatever
Twitter,
you want to
plug. Yeah, I'm Emily Maya Mills everywhere. So that's at Twitter. That's Facebook. That's EmilyMayaMills.com. MayaMills.
Check her out and look for her at a lake in Maine.
Yes. at FunnyDP, DwayneBurkins.com, and at the Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Vegas last week of July.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy, and I will be doing a little West Coast tour with some of the guys I work with over at Tosh.0. Tonight we will be in Portland for the weekend, then Seattle, Boise, Salt Lake, Denver, Vegas. So come check us out if you're in any of those cities. Thanks for tuning in as always, and check us out next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.